Second Peter chapter number 1. Anybody got any free time tomorrow? We'll be out here at the church working about 4 o'clock. We'll try to start our next phase on our project going on around here. So anybody got any free time? We'll be here tomorrow at 4 and then maybe doing something throughout the week. Where's Peter at? After James? Second Peter is after First Peter, ain't it? Chapter number 1. Amen. You can stand in honor of God's word if you can and able. Second Peter chapter number 1. I got a notebook bent all to pieces. Verse number 5 down through verse number 11. There are 7 things listed in this passage of Scripture that we're to add to our faith. And we're going to look at them one by one, the Lord willing. We'll start with the first one tonight, which is virtue. Maybe the next several Sunday nights deal with it as the Lord leads. But 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 5, what's the first word?
Amen.
Amen. You know what I have noticed? That them teenagers was a whole lot more rowdy and excited about church when they was at camp. Amen.
Amen.
They done got all quiet on me. They say amen at camp, shout, and now they get in church and act like they can't even open their mouths. Amen. Let me just say, teenagers, what is the second word in verse 5? Lord help, forget it. I don't know if you don't know the word or you don't know what the second means. But something didn't go right there, amen. We won't do that again. Verse number 5. Bible said, and beside these, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And that's bad. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke, would you pray for us tonight?
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us today. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you watch over the service. I pray that you have the men of God in heaven, cause giving the words to speak. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you
help us, Lord.
Touch each and every heart every day. Lord, I pray, Lord, if anybody's here lost, Lord, you show them any salvation, Lord. Lord, you watch over us, help us to get exactly what you have from this message, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As I said, there's 7 things that we need to add to our faith. Bible said in verse 5, and beside these, give all diligence, add to your faith. 7 things we need to add to our faith. Now, a few things I want to settle here before we get into this thing, virtue, tonight. And as we go on, we'll look at them as we go one by one. But as Christians, we should constantly grow. Constantly grow. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. As Christians, we should constantly grow. If we have a child that does not develop or grow, we're going to realize that something's not right. We're going to go see a physician. We're going to ask for a doctor. We're going to go asking others what they think might be going on. Something is not right because my child is not growing. And why don't we feel the same way when Christians don't grow? As a Christian, we should grow. And one of the things it's going to take to grow is to eat. I kind of can't get this off my mind. I was talking to Brother Chris and Miss Summer last night at prayer meeting at the end, and they was talking about how the baby's growing, and I asked them, is they giving the baby any formula or any baby foods yet? And they said, we're just giving him milk. And got a little bit of time, the doctor say, now before you start giving them table food or baby food, they're just giving them milk. And Miss Summer said, well, I don't know if this is actually the way she said it, but she said, I'm not too excited about feeding him baby food. And I'm thinking, like, why in the world are you excited about feeding him baby food? He's got to grow. She said, because when you start feeding him baby food, his diapers stink worse than when you feed him milk. I thought, what a young mama. Amen. That's how they think. That's what the young mama thinks. Amen. I just don't want him stinking when he uses the bathroom. So he's eating milk the rest of his life if she's got anything to do with it. Amen. Well, Brother Chris is going to be changing diapers. I don't know. But if that baby began to not show growth in his life, that mom and daddy would be upset. And I believe the Lord feels the same way about His children when we don't grow up. We are to grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, wherefore lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Amen. We're to desire the milk. Amen. There's something built inside of you that desires to hear from your Heavenly Father. It desires to hear from God's Word. And that Word will help us grow in the grace of our Lord. Look in 2 Peter chapter number 3. And the last words recorded by Peter in the epistle here. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. As Christians, we should constantly be growing. We should constantly be growing. Amen. We should grow until the Lord takes us home. We're never going to get to the point where we say, well, I have arrived and I've made it all and I've figured it all out. You're not going to figure it all out. You're not going to arrive. Amen. It's not going to be done until God takes us home. And Peter, writing even in his old age, in his last epistle, in his last verse of his epistle, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, said, but grow in grace. It's the last thing he's leaving them here. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. When we grow as Christians, in the context of verse 18, we will bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, now and the age to come. Amen. Hey, growth is a process that should take place in every child of God. And in this epistle in 2 Peter, Peter has mentioned seven things, steps of growth within a child of God. And each step is another step forward and another step forward. It's a progression of growth in a child of God. And the first one tonight is virtue is the first step of growth in a child of God's life. Hey, do you know that growing, he said in verse 5, look at these seven things. But add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. Amen. When these things abound in our life, we are growing in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse number 8. For these things abound in you. The kindness, the virtue, the knowledge, the temperance, the patience, the godliness, the charity. When these things abide in you, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need these seven things to abound in our life. The word abound means to be in great plenty. To abound, amen. We shouldn't just have a little bit of brotherly kindness. We shouldn't just have a little dab of virtue and a little dab of temperance, amen, and a little dab of patience, a little dab of godliness. Hey, they should abound in our lives. He said, when these things, for if these things abound in you, you know what happens if they abound in you? There's three things in the context here as a way of introduction. When these things abound in you, number one, it'll make you fruitful. It'll make you fruitful. Hey, we're to bear fruit of our Savior, amen. Bible said, by the fruit you shall know them. Yeah. Every tree is known by its fruit, amen. As the child of God, we're likened unto trees, amen. Planted by the rivers of water. And there's something wrong when the tree does not bring forth fruit of what kind it is, amen. Hey, you know what? When you abound in these seven things, you will be number one. You'll be fruitful. You know why a lot of children of God are barren? They're not fruitful. because they're not abounding in these steps of grace and growing the way that they should. Where's your fruit? Amen. Where's your fruit? You know what? Not only if they abound in you in great plenty, you'll be fruitful. You know what else you'll be? According to verse 9, you'll be focused. You'll be focused. Look in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. How could you forget that you were born again? How could you forget that what God has done for you? Amen. You know what happens when these things abound in you? You're number one in verse 8, you're fruitful. But in verse 9, you're focused. You know what we need? We need some of God's people to get focused on God. Focused, amen, that you could see. How far can you see? You know, to see far, and you're talking about sight as a child of God, it takes faith to see. You know, we don't have much faith really to see past the building, amen. Can't see too far in your life. You can't even look back and see what God has done for you, amen. We've lost all focus. You know why? Because we're not growing, amen. And when you're not growing, you're not only unfruitful, but you're not focused in your life. We need God's people to be fruitful, and we need them to be focused on the task that is before us, amen. But when they abound, you're fruitful. When you abound, you focus. And when you abound, the Bible said, it's what the Bible says in verse 10, you'll never fall. And when these things abound in your life, you know what he's giving? He's giving you the ingredients to be able to stand without falling. Amen. That's what he said. Look in verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, there's the seven things that he's mentioned. If you do these things, ye shall never what? Never fall. When these things abound in you in great plenty, you're a fruitful individual, you're a focused individual, and you're an individual that does not fall. You know why a lot of God's people are falling? They're not growing in grace. And we're stumbling over everything in our lives and making a mess in our lives. And we can't stay on our feet long enough to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're seeing a stumbling individual stumbling around through this life called Christianity, and there's no excuse for any child of God stumbling around in their Christian walk. We're not fruitful, amen. We're not focused, and because we're not fruitful and we're not focused, we're falling all over the place. But if these things abound in you, he's giving you the recipe how to be fruitful, how to stay focused, and how to keep on falling in your life.
Amen.
God says, I can give you something to help you never fall. Help you stand on your feet and be a testimony for me. Amen. Make your calling and election sure. Is it sure? You know who it ought to be sure to? Hey, number one, it ought to be sure to you. You ought to know you're a child of God. When you don't allow these things to abound in your life and you don't grow, you'll even forget that you were purged from your own sins in verse 9. And you'll have no assurance that you've been called of God. As a child of God, much less any calling in your life we preached about this morning, you'll begin to doubt whether you've been born again. And a lot of God's people are doubting, have no assurance of their salvation because they're not growing in grace. They're not desiring the sincere milk. They're not eating the Word of God. They're not growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're not allowing these steps of growth to take place in their life. They have no virtue to start with, much less any of the charity at the end. There's no starting place in their life when they begin to grow for the Lord. Amen. You got to grow. You got to grow. He said, you'll be fruitful, verse 8. You'll be focused, verse 9. You'll never fall, verse 10. You know what else you'll be? Verse 11, you'll find a life of fulfillment. A life of fulfillment. Do you know, I hate to know I went through this life and never bared any fruit for God. Wouldn't you? Never bared any fruit as I was a child of God. Nobody ever seen anything off my tree that resembled the life of Jesus Christ inside of me. Amen. No fruitfulness. No focusing. Amen. I couldn't keep my mind on the Lord. Couldn't keep my mind on the race. Amen. Looking into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The focus that is there. The growth process begins with fruit in your life. A focused individual. Amen. And a focused individual will have these fruits. And he will not fall. And he will find his life a fulfillment for himself and his Savior. A fulfillment. Satisfied. I've done. Like Jesus said when he was on the cross, it is finished. When Paul at the end of his race, he said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. You know what he's saying? I fulfilled my life. No regrets, man. No regrets. I've not wasted around and flopped around in this thing called Christianity, and I was never a witness for God. I never prayed. I never read my Bible. I never stayed focused. I never lived the life of Christianity. Nobody ever seen God in me. I never won anybody to the Lord. I never encouraged anybody and helped anybody along the way. I never found the will of God for my life. My life was unfulfilled. There's no satisfaction. That is not the life of any child of God to live. We should never lay on our deathbed saying, I wish I would have done. I wish I could start all over again. I wish I'd do it all over. I wish I wouldn't have done this. Hey, a life of fulfillment is found in a child of God that allows these seven steps of growth to display in his life, and he finds fulfillment in his life. But wouldn't you like to do that? I fulfill my life. None of these things move me, Paul said in Acts chapter number 20. None of it. Amen. That I might finish the course that God has given me. You have to find fulfillment in your life. Many a child of God never finds fulfillment in their lives. Sad, sad, sad. Look in verse number 11. The Bible says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Boy, ain't that a way to go in? He said, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Abundant entrance. Entrance into the kingdom of God. You know what I think about that abundant interest? Enter in thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in this, and this is what I'm going to give you. Now, I'm talking about a fulfilled life, amen, a child of God that has lived their life for God. And what I would like to see out of this study and this series, that God allow these things to work in our lives one by one and see where we're at on the steps of growth and continue to strive for great things in our lives, that we can bring forth more fruit for God, that we can stay more focused for God, and be less falling in our lives, and at the end of the race, when this thing's all said and done, that our lives build something for God. Amen. What satisfaction, man. What gratification it is to a child of God to know that, hey, man, I've run the race that was set before me. I've obeyed my Lord. I've done what He's put me here to do, and I'm home and ready. Amen, ready. And fulfillment in your life. Seven things that abound. And when they abound, you're fruitful, you're focused, you'll never fall, and you'll fulfill your life. Look in verse 5. The Bible said, and besides this. Before he begins to look at these seven things, he says in verse 5, and beside this. Beside what? What is he saying? Before he begins to list these seven things that were to add to our faith, which will help us to be fruitful, focused, and not fall and fulfill our lives. He says, and beside this. You know what he's saying is in verse 5? That there's more to the Christian life than just being saved.
Amen.
I mean, what is it if you live this thing and, you know, thank God you don't go to hell, man. What a great ending. I mean, that's a great ending, man. Not going to hell is a great thing. And I don't want to take that lightly at all. I'm glad I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm going home to be with my Lord. Never have to burn forever. I'm going to spend eternity with God. But you know what? When we get to the other side, we're going to wish to God we've done more than just get saved.
Amen.
He said, and beside this, besides just being saved. I mean, look in verse 4 before he said that in verse 5. He said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. There's the salvation. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Thank God the divine nature that God gave us when we were born again, and we can escape the corruption and the lust. But besides this, add to your faith. Amen. Hey, do more than with your salvation. Just saying, hey, I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
I ain't going to hell. Thank God you got the assurance of that. But add to that something besides saying, hey, I'm glad I ain't going to hell. I'm glad I'm saved. A lot of people ain't glad to say. You'll never add anything till you first realize you're saved and glad you're saved. But you, besides this, he said, besides this, add more to your Christian life than just being saved. He says, and besides this, give all diligence. So he begins it before he talks about these seven things. He says, besides this, realize that life's not just about being saved. It's just not about being born again. Glory to be to God for being born again and being saved. But besides this, give all diligence. All diligence. You know what diligence means? A steady application. Diligence. Give all diligence. He begins to list these seven things before he does. He says, hey, besides this, don't forget, you're glad you're saved. Hey, but make sure you put something with the salvation, amen. And me and give all diligence and effort, a steady application of work and an exertion of body or mind without unnecessary delay or sloth. That's what it means. You know what a lot of people do? Unnecessary delays, a bunch of slothfulness. There's no diligence in their life. Diligence is getting busy, man, going at it.
Yeah.
And get me around somebody that's excited about serving God. He got some diligence about them to get it done. Not slowful and dragging around, man. Lazy.
Yep.
Lazy generation we living in.
God.
Man, they don't even work at work. They work at all. Much less work for God, amen. Get some diligence in your life, amen. You need a character of work in your life, man, that you can strike a stick at something.
Yeah.
They don't say anything. Some people want to strike a stick at a snake.
Yeah.
I strike more than a stick at him if I saw him, amen. I don't know about you.
Amen.
I give some diligence to his head, amen. Give all diligence, steady application, an exertion of body and mind. Where's your body at for the Lord? Where's your mind at for the Lord? Without unnecessary delay and sloth. Well, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll take care of that later. You know, I know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm planning on growing in grace and desiring the sincere milk of the Word. I might grow thereby, get something done in my life that I can bring forth some fruit and get my focus right, you know. Hey, that I have a fulfillment in my life. But they're just laying around just talking about it. You know, sooner or later, you just got to quit talking.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to do this later. Well, why don't you do it now? What's the old saying? Why put off today? Why put off to tomorrow what you can do today?
Yeah.
What you waiting on? You know what? Most of the time, if we delay it, we ain't end up doing it.
Right.
If we put it off one day, we'll put it off two. If we put it off two, we'll put it off three. If we put it off three, we'll be put it off six. And for long, we just put it off altogether and won't even talk about doing it anymore.
Yep.
That's slothfulness, amen. Hey, he said, give all diligence. Look in verse 10 of this chapter. He said, wherefore the rather, brethren, give what? Diligence to make your calling and election sure. Diligence. Your calling. Your calling. Who's calling? Amen. Yours. Who you? What you going to do? Amen. You're going to make your calling and election sure. You're going to have to realize, hey, that I'm saved. Amen. I'm a child of God. Give diligence to it. Look in chapter 3 and verse number 14 of the same book. Chapter 3, verse 14. We're talking about adding to our faith. Adding to our faith. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, well, I'm looking for it, ain't you?
Amen.
What you looking for? Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Give some diligence. Give some application. An exertion of body and mind. Put forth an effort in it, amen. He says, give all diligence. Besides this, besides just being saved, man, give some diligence to go further. Look in verse 5 again. And besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith. Add to your faith. Do you know what? You can't add to somebody else's. Not in the context of this growth process he's talking about here. He's talking about something in your own life. Add to your faith. Get busy doing something for yourself. Get busy putting a steady application in your life of diligence. Well, if somebody else would do it, then I'd do it. Well, you ain't going to ever get it done. I'm waiting for my husband to get more spiritual. Wait for my wife to get more spiritual. Wait for my mom and daddy to leave me the right way. Wait for my kids to get on board. Wait for one of my friends to do a little bit better. He says, add to your faith. Hey, you're a child of God. You said you're born again. You accept the Lord as your Savior. Then besides this, add to your faith. Give all diligence to get it done. Amen. Add to your faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourself. It's the gift of God. You need to add to your faith. Amen. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, ain't God good? Which according to His abundant mercy had begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hey, we've been begotten into a lively hope. Where's the life at? Where's the hope at? A lively hope, man. Excited about it. That blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Where's the excitement about the return of the Lord?
Amen.
We've been begotten into a lively hope. We serve a living Savior, not a dead one.
Amen.
Why are we so dead? Amen.
Amen.
I understand sometimes we're tired, sometimes we get sick, our body don't feel good. Hey, but what's your excuse when you ain't feeling bad, man? What's your excuse when your flesh is not beating you down with a sickness or something like that? Why ain't you got any liveliness about you? Aren't you going to need diligence about your life? Amen. How are you going to add to anything and accomplish anything for God as long as you're dead? It'll do nothing. Look at verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Ain't that good?
Right.
Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. He said, add to your faith. What faith? That faith of salvation. With that faith that saved us, that we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. The fact that God saved you and the fact that God is keeping you, why ain't you busy doing something for Him? I mean, He's not talking to add to your faith something that you need to stay saved with. He said, you're kept by the power of God in the first book of in the first book that Peter wrote. He settled the fact that salvation is by God's grace and you're kept by His power. It's the work of God. It's His blood that was shed on Calvary. Now add to that faith, besides the fact that you're born again, now get busy living for God. Why? So you don't go to hell? No, you're kept by God. You're going to heaven because of Him. But because there's a lively hope of the resurrection of our Lord, and I'm going to see Him one day, and I'm going to give an account of what I've done in my body, whether it be good or bad, let's add to our faith. Let's find some fulfillment in our lives. Let's get some fruit out of our lives. Let's stay focused for God. Amen. You got to grow in grace. Why are we not growing? Why does it not bother us that we're not growing? Why is it that we're still babes in Christ when we've been saved 5 years? What is it? You've not been eating? Not been showing up to the table? You've not been exercising what you've been getting? I mean, you could eat all day long and not exercise. It won't turn to nothing but fat. Right?
Yeah.
And you sit around and just get swole up on all the good doctrines of God and never live a lick up.
And we're what you would call
spiritual slobs.
Yep.
Overweight of all the doctrine and the meat that we've been eating and steaks from God's Word and not exercised it and used any of it to build any muscle and any character and any demonstration of God in our lives. That's sad.
Amen.
That's not what God wants out of us. Amen. God wants us to exercise the faith that God has given us. God wants us to add to it. God wants that diligence in our lives. He, besides this, get busy living for God. Amen. Virtue is the first one. Look in verse 5. And besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. Now, you can't add faith to virtue to no faith. Add to your faith. It's very clear He's talking to saved individuals that are born again. Besides what God's done to you, get some diligence and add to your faith virtue. So if the first step and the first thing that God asks out of us to do and fulfill in our lives is virtue, what is virtue? What is virtue? If that's the first step that Peter has laid out in growth here, and the 7 steps of growth that he's laid out, that we would be fruitful, that we would be focused, that we would not fall, that we would have fulfillment in our lives. If the first step is virtue, what in the world is virtue?
Yeah.
What is it? Somebody said, add to your faith virtue. Okay, what is virtue? If that's the first step that he's laid out in fulfillment in my life, and growing in grace, have I ever added any virtue to my life? I mean, it's a good thermometer tonight to see where you're at. Maybe you've got virtue when the service is over tonight. You thanking God for virtue and you ready for the next step to see if you're there yet, amen. Hey, but maybe we can just say, hey, I need a little more virtue in my life. And how can I ask for virtue if I only know what it is? Add to your faith virtue. I know I got faith. I know I'm saved, preacher. But what is virtue? Do you know what virtue is? Virtue is high moral standards and ethical principles. It's a holy life. Add to your faith virtue. Amen. Have some moral standards in your life. Where are your standards at? You ain't got any standards. You know, someone said one time, you know, it's amazing that everything we want in this world, we want standards on it except Christianity. You know, if you go down and buy a car, you want a car with high standards on it. Good gas mileage, the standards are high for safety, you know. Everything's going to be taken care of. If I get in a wreck from the side, the standards, something's going to have airbags, collision, it's going to take care of me. It's got high standards. You go out and buy a house, you want a house with high standards on it. You want something caving in with a bad roof. You want good standards of roof. Hey, make sure the walls are in good shape, good tack, no termites. You want standards in the kind of house you're going to live. You don't live in no junk. You got standards in the house you're going to live in. So if you go to the store and buy clothes, and you got standards on what kind of clothes you're going to wear. Some of you ain't got to wear nothing that ain't got a name brand on it. In a lot of cases, the name brands do have standards, so they got good quality, last long. Amen. So you understand some of the stuff. But you know what? You got standards on what you're going to wear. Some of you ain't going to get caught in some of that stuff because your standards are too high, right? You know, we got all the kind of standards and all these worldly things, but you got no standards in Christianity. You got no standards on what kind of church you go to. You go to a church and they got standards and people think, well, they're legalistical. They got standards on how you ought to dress, how you ought to talk, where you ought to go, what you ought to do. And they always got standards for your life. Now, you don't want no standards in Christianity, but you wouldn't have anything in the world if it didn't have standards on it. Not a thing. Why is it that way? That we put more standards in the world than we do in godly things. Add to your fake virtue, get you some moral standards for your life. I'm not looking at this. I'm not going there. I'm not listening to that. I've got standards in my life. Hey, I'm talking about growing in grace and the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Got some virtue in your life. It's got to start with some standards. Some things you allow and some things you disallow in your life. Got any standards? How high are they? High moral standards is what virtue is called. High moral standards. Ethical principles. Look in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. 7 things we need to add to our faith. He starts out with moral standards. Virtue, if you will. Virtue. You got any virtue? You got any standards? Why not? Good question, right? Why not? Why don't you have any? Add to your faith. Besides all this, you say, give some diligence. Amen. Put forth some effort to have standards. Give diligence, amen. A steady application to try to get a better life for you. To be a witness for the Lord. Is that not our desire to fulfill our life for Christ? That Christ might be seen in our lives. I mean, did not our Lord and Savior have high moral standards in His life? I mean, He didn't lay around and fornicate all His life, did He? He didn't lay around and waste His life with a bunch of garbage. He didn't put things before His eyes that would hinder His life. You know, He didn't listen to a bunch of mess that would interfere with His spirit between Him and the Father. He fulfilled His life. He had high moral standards. He had virtue in His life. Where's our virtue at? Where's your moral standards at? Why is it you don't care what you look at on the internet? You don't care what kind of music you listen to. You got no standards in your life. That's a sorry individual. That's a sorry Christian. No wonder you're not growing. No wonder you don't have any fruit. Amen. Go all the way back to the beginning of the introduction. No wonder you're not focused on the things of God. Your mind's everywhere. You can't even stay focused on preaching long enough to listen to what God's got to say to you. Why? Because you're so focused on everything in the world. You stayed up all late last night watching movies and carrying on with all kind of garbage and wasting your life and all your energy. And nobody's focused on God and trying to grow and get a better life for Christ. No standards. Okay, where we go, what we listen to. I thought about the other day. You know, they're always coming out with some kind of new garbage. New garbage. I heard the advertisement for that new movie they put out, The Suicide Squad. And I thought, who in the world would watch some kind of garbage like that? And some of you went to the movies and watched it. What are you going with you? A Suicide Squad. Just the title of it's wicked as hell. Well, you watch somebody about suicides and devilish looking junk and garbage. What's any good at? How's that going to give you any kind of moral standards? Well, you get any virtue out of looking at that kind of garbage?
Yeah.
It's not good. I mean, you have better standards in your life. I'm not lowering myself down to that kind of level to watch that kind of mess. Not lowering down my level to watch, get on those kind of sites, you know, and listen to that kind of music. Get some standards in your life. We ain't doing it.
Amen.
We ain't doing it.
Amen.
We ain't got no standards no more. Got no virtue.
Right.
No wonder we're not focused. No wonder the things of God do not interest us. No wonder there's no fruit, and no wonder there's no fruit in us. No wonder we're living a life of emptiness and voidness and no fulfillment in our lives. Because we're so full of garbage. You got to grow, man. If you're going to grow, you got to get some standards in your life. You got to quit allowing some things.
Yep.
Start picking up some good things. Get some standards. Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brother. He's talking about the peace of God here. Not the peace with God, Romans 5, that's salvation, but the peace of God for service. Contentment in your life. That peace of God that passeth all understanding, verse 7, that keeps your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, verse 8, whatsoever things are true. That's a good standard, ain't it? Truth. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Ain't truth and honesty a good thing? Wouldn't it be a good standard? I'm for truth, man. I'm for honesty. You can depend on what I say is good. I'm honest. I'm not a cheater. You know, I'm honest. He said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. It's just. It's the right thing to do, man. Whatsoever things are pure. Ain't the pure things unholy? Not, they're not filthy. They're not unholy. They're pure. Look, whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. Well, that's some high standards, ain't it?
Yep.
Truth, honesty, purity, lovely, good report. Man, good report. Somebody's seen your life. It's showing something that's right. Look, if there be any what? There's a word. Add to your faith virtue. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's virtue, man. That's standards. Thinking on the right things. Why don't we think on the right things? Where's our mind at? Where's your standards? Virtue. Virtue is not only high moral standards and ethical principles. You know what virtue is? Virtue is courage to do what's right. When you got virtue, you know what you got? You got courage to do the right thing. You know what? Because you're thinking the right things. Your mind's on the right things. Your intentions and your desires are right. You're giving diligence. You're putting forth effort in the things of God, man. You're putting your eggs in the right basket, you know. You got diligence and you got faith. You know you're saved. You know you're born again. And you're trying to go a little bit further and add something to it. You got moral standards in your life. And you got courage to do what's right. That's virtue. You know, Joseph was a virtuous man. I mean, the Bible will say those words that he was virtuous, but you know what? By the character that he showed, that he was a virtuous individual. He had high moral standards for his life. He just wasn't going to go down any old way. It didn't matter what kind of position he got put in that maybe he could justify his actions. He had virtue in his life, and he was going to do right despite what anybody done to him. I mean, he was sold into slavery by his brother, and everybody's done him wrong just because he had a dream. He wanted to live for God. Wanted to do something great for God. God gave him green dreams and ambitions to do great things for God. And his brethren hated him and sold him into slavery. Yeah. He's down in Potiphar's house. And he's in a foreign country and nobody knows him. And he can get by, you know. Nobody's seen him do it if he does it. And hey, everybody's done him wrong anyhow. What'd be wrong slipping up a little every once in a while? You know what'd be wrong with it? There's no virtue in it. We got people that got no virtue, and they don't care if they slip up, and they got a reason to justify slipping up. Get by with it. Talk about me anyhow, and nobody knows. I'm in a foreign place. Nobody's seeing it but my eyes. God's seeing it.
Amen.
Your soul inside is not content with it is seeing it. No wonder you're miserable.
Amen.
You got no virtue in your life. Courage to do what's right despite what you're up against. Look at this in Genesis 39. We're talking about Joseph. Genesis 39. Add to your faith virtue. Get some moral standards. Courage to do what's right. Joseph had virtue in his life. Joseph had, you know, he could have made all the excuses to do wrong. I mean, even in the case right here, in this one illustration of his life, after he's been sold into slavery. Genesis chapter 39, look in verse number 7. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. You know what? Let me just say this. You better be careful what you do with your eyes. Make what they call Google eyes at somebody. And you give them little looks, which is lustful things, which is sin, which leads to things that ain't right. She cast her eyes upon him. She gave him the wink, gave him that look. Without saying anything, he knew what she meant when she looked at him that way. And you're looking at people in certain ways that's not becoming of a child of God. Well, it's just a look. Yeah, but that look can go further. That was what started with David, is all he got was a look. And then he over there with Bathsheba and lay with her, and then committed adultery, then had her husband killed. It went a long way just with a look. It does matter how you do with your eyes.
Amen.
I'm just going to give him a little look. And you know, you don't need to give him any looks. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus to serve God, and God will take care of the rest. People are wicked, amen. She cast her eyes upon him and said, lie with me. And then she opened that mouth. Said things that were not becoming of right. Amen. And here's Joseph being tempted to do wrong. In a foreign land. Nobody knows. It's just him and her at the house. His master's wife. His master's out of town. Nobody's there. Nobody's looking. It's him and her. He could do what he wanted to do and be done with it. You know what the problem was? This boy had virtue in his life. And it didn't matter if his mom and daddy was there. Amen. And it didn't matter if his brothers and sisters seen him down at Walmart. It didn't matter if nobody else was looking. It didn't matter if he was in his room with his internet and nobody else was looking. He had virtue in his life, and his ambition was to be fruitful for God and stay focused on the Lord and find fulfillment in his life, not a wasted life. He had virtue in his life. God, give us some people with virtue in their life. Standards. Not going out that easy. Bible said in verse 8, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master woke not what is with me in the house, and he have committed all that he have to my hand. You know, in a tight, that our master, the Lord Jesus Christ, has given us all things. It'd be abusive for us to abuse our rights that God's given us. Oh, preacher, we're saved by grace and kept by grace and eternally secure. Does that make it right for you not to have virtue in your life?
Amen.
No, it don't. Bible says in verse 9, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against who? Now he described his master and what he wouldn't do wrong against him, but he said, I ain't going to sin against God. You know, that's what happens when you sin against God. Verse number 10. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. She didn't give up. Now, some people are wicked and try to keep their... You know what? If there's some boy like that to you, you need to slap him in his face and tell him to get out of your face and don't ever speak to you again. You need to have virtue in your life, girls. Virtue that I'm not cheap.
Amen.
I'm not what some words the Bible calls them kind of people. I'm not one of them. Amen. I got virtue in my life. I'm trying to fulfill a life for Christ and make a difference for Him. And when God knows I need a help meet, He'll send me one. I'm not that cheap, man.
Yeah.
I don't care. You know, I wouldn't even entertain their eyes or their mouths.
Amen.
Be good to slap it back in where it came out.
Yeah,
if you don't, you know what's going to happen? Well, I don't agree with that. And hey, they offended me. But you keep listening to it long enough, you'll give in.
Yeah.
I can tell you illustrations of people that had some virtue in their life that listened to something when they first heard it and said, that's wicked as hell and I'll never do it. But they kept listening to it and they entertained the thought of it. And the more they dwelt with that thing, then they ended up committing that act and ruined their lives.
Amen.
That they'd have never done the first time they heard it. She pressed him daily.
Yep.
The devil will press you daily and send things at you to try to rob you of your virtue. Look at the Bible says. The Bible said in verse number 11, well, verse 10 again, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. That's all it took, man. She gave him some eyes when everybody was around. Couldn't anything happen, you know, because he was protected. Somebody give you that look in church and there's a lot of other people around. You might as well peek a little look back at them, give them that look, and hopefully nobody's looking kind of thing. But all I'm doing is looking, you know. We're just playing around. Yeah, but there's going to come a time you're going to be around with in the comfort and protection of God's people, you know. That song they sing about grace. What's that song they sing about how people have prayed for you and looked and watched out for you? Amen. Sheltered. Amen. And you've been sheltered by them. It's going to come a time you're not going to be sheltered. You're going to be out there by yourself. And you played around while you were sheltered and tempted the flesh a little bit. And when you get by yourself, you're going to make a stupid move and ruin your life.
Amen.
Joseph didn't play around it when people were there. So when nobody was there but him and her, he had virtue in his life to say no and run. Better get it right now, man. If you ain't going to get it right in the company of others, don't think you're going to stand when you're by yourself. You're fooling yourself. You hear me? You are lying to yourself. You need to add to your faith virtue. You need to get some better standards about you. Amen? That's good preaching. I don't care if you don't say it, it is. You need that in your life. We need that in our lives. Look at verse 11. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within, and she caught him by his garment. Laid her hands on him now. She didn't talk to him, looked at him. Now she's touching him. Lie with me. Saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. You know what virtue is? Virtue is courage to do what's right. Why don't you have courage to do right? Why are you doing things that's not becoming of a child of God? Well, one day we're going to get married. Well, wait till you get married. You think that makes it right? Well, she's the one for me and he's the one for me. That don't make it right. You need to have virtue in your life.
Yep.
Virtue. Look back in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me hurry. 2 Peter chapter 1. High moral standards. Courage to do what's right as Joseph did. But you know, God has called us to virtue. He's called you to virtue. 2 Peter chapter 1, look in verse 3. According as His divine power have given unto us all things. Well, that's the kind of God we serve, right? That pertain unto life and godliness. God's give you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You see that? Through the knowledge of Him that had called us to glory and what? Virtue. God's called you to virtue. God's put a calling in your life to live with high moral standards. He's given you godliness, and through the knowledge of Him, He have called us to glory and virtue. One day we're going to go home to be with Him in glory. One day we're going to go home. Thank God for that. But He's not only called you to go home with Him in glory, but God's called you into virtue now on this earth. Been called into virtue to live a holy, godly life on this earth. And we looked at some of the references of virtue, but there's 11 references to virtue in your Bible out of 10 verses in your Bible. It's the first step of growth that Peter mentions here. Amen. Four times the word virtue is described in the ideal woman. A virtuous woman, right? Proverbs 31, a virtuous woman. Four times the word virtue is describing an ideal woman. Out of three of them, three of them's in the book of Proverbs speaking of a virtuous woman, and the other one, you know where it's at? It's in the book of Ruth. You talking about a virtuous woman? Ruth was a virtuous woman. Ruth, a type of the church, a type of the bride of Christ that married Boaz, that went out with her mother-in-law out in the strange land. And when her husband died, she was willing to stick with her mother. She had high character and ethics in her life. She could have went back and served her gods, but she said to Naomi, "Thy God shall be my God, thy people shall be my people." She had some standards in your life. You know, a little verse you quote or repeat after the preacher when you get married, you know, "Thy God shall be my God, thy people my people." That was Ruth that said that, man. And virtue in her life. She wouldn't go to the gods of this. She wanted her God. She wanted her people. She wanted to be with the people of Israel. She wanted to be with God's children. You know what? She was a virtuous woman. Do you know what virtue in a woman, or virtue altogether, has a lot to do with a person's attitude? I mean, look at Ruth. You know what kind of woman she was? She was a virtuous woman, but she was a woman of good attitude. She wasn't a grumbler. She wasn't a complainer. She's a virtuous lady, man. I want to be a virtuous woman, preacher. I want to be one of those Proverbs virtuous ladies. Virtuous woman. Look at Ruth. She's not a complainer. Well, my husband died here. I'm dead. No, I'll be your God to be my God. Your people to be my people. Well, if you go down here, you're going to wait till I have another son. I'll do whatever I got to do. No complaining, no grumbling. She was a virtuous woman. You know what she did when she got home with her mother-in-law? She went out in the garden and gleaned. And she worked. She was virtuous. Said some character in her life. Well, woe is me. Look how bad my life is. My husband died and now I got to work for a living. No, she never grumbled. She never complained. She's a virtuous woman. Attitude has a lot to do with virtuality. And you're showing you got no virtue when your attitude stinks. It's not virtuous. You need to add to your faith virtue, have moral standards, and those moral standards that comes with a great attitude for God. Ruth was a virtuous woman. Ruth 3:11 is the reference if you want it, if you want to look it up. I challenge you to read the book of Ruth, especially you ladies, if you're looking for some virtue in your life and how to live for God and be godly. Great book. A woman that exercised faith. Virtue she had. Proverbs. Let me read you these in Proverbs. You can write Proverbs 12:4 if you want to write it down. Proverbs 31, verse 10 and verse 29. Virtuous. Proverbs chapter number 12, verse 4, the Bible says this. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as the rottenness in his bones. That ain't good, man. A crown. He's not ashamed of her. Proud to wear her around. Show her off. She's virtuous. Proverbs 31. One you might know. Verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. You know what makes something expensive? Her price is far above rubies. You know one of the things that makes something expensive? The rarityness of it. You know why women are so... A virtuous woman whose price is far above rubies? Because they're rare. And the more rare, the more valuable it is. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. So there's four times the word virtue is mentioned in describing the ideal woman. Has a lot to do with their attitude. Bob Jones Sr., dead and rest his soul in heaven, glory be to God, said this. He said, when gratitude dies on the altar of man's heart, that man is well nigh useless. He's useless. Why? Because he's got no gratitude. Gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart. That man is well nigh useless. You've got no gratitude, no thanksgiving. Your attitude stinks. That is not the standard of virtue. Virtue. That's four times. There's 11 references in 10 verses. Three times it speaks of what left Christ when he healed the sick. Mark 5:3, Luke 6:19, Luke 8, verse 46. Three times it speaks of virtue coming out of Christ's body when he healed the sick. What came out of him? His power to heal. It left him. It was inside of him. Virtue is from within. Those moral standards need to be more than just a facade on the outside. It needs to be something within you. The standards that go deep to your bone. That when people bump up against you, if you will, spiritually speaking, it comes out. Amen. Remember when the woman that came up behind him and touched the hem of his garment, he said, who touched me? Virtue had gone out of his body. That was God's power that came out to heal them. Amen. The Bible called it virtue. You know what? When people bump up to us, what comes out of us? You know what's going to come out of us? What's in us? Somebody bump on you and you want to retaliate. You know what? You ain't filled with virtue. You fill with hate, bitterness. Add to your faith virtue. So that's 7 of the 10, 11 references. The others, Philippians 4:8, we looked at it earlier in the sermon. High moral standards. Think on these things. Add to your faith virtue. Those things that have high standard in Philippians 8, virtue was mentioned. The others are right here in the epistle of Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 is mentioned twice. That's a total of 11 references in 10 verses. This virtue, according to Peter, is the first step in salvation, after salvation, according to this apostle. He said, add to your faith their salvation. And the first thing you need to add is virtue. Virtue. It's a good starting place. Standards. Things I don't allow. Things I do allow. Amen. If you're going to grow in grace and wisdom and knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ, you need to start with virtue in your life. Well, I want to get some knowledge and learn a little bit. Well, you know, that's later on. That's after virtue. But you start out with virtue. You know why? Because if you get knowledge and you get puffed up with knowledge and that wickedness destroys you, that's the next sermon. I don't want to get too far. But you got to start with some virtue in your life, standards in your life. You're going to live right by God. There'll be something established in your heart. Then you can get the standard steps growing in the right direction. getting ahead of yourself, messing your life up. The first step is virtue, standards, courage to do right, godliness. Look at the example. Let me show you two examples, and you know them. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me give you these two and we'll quit. Add to your faith virtue. Seven things we need to add to our faith. We need to start out with virtue in our lives. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Listen, there ain't a thing I preach tonight that cannot be accomplished in any child of God that's here tonight. Because you can add to your faith virtue.
Amen.
If you're a born-again child of God, you can have virtue in your life. If you don't, it's because you're not adding to it. You're not putting forth any diligence. You don't want it. That's your part. Salvation's God's part. Growing in grace depends on what you're going to do and what He's done for you. It's where you're involved. I'm not talking about working to stay saved, be saved. I'm talking about working because you are saved. Ephesians chapter 2, look in verse 8. You could quote it. For by grace are you saved. Add to your faith. There it is, faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself is the gift of God. Salvation is God's work. That's plain. It's not these things that Peter's talking about. He's not talking about something to keep your salvation. That's foolishness. You serve Him because you are saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what he says in verse 10? He talks about salvation in verse 8 and 9. You're born again. You accepted God as your Savior. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Moral standards. Virtue. You've been saved to live for God. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. First thing He says, hey, you're saved, verse 8, 9, verse 10, walk. Live it. Good works. Look in 1 John chapter 3, and I'll quit with this. Right after salvation, add to your faith virtue. It's all through here. It's principles, godly principles. 1 John chapter 3. Right before Jude and Revelation and 3 John and 2 John. 1 John 3. Salvation's in verse 1 and 2, just as it was in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And then the virtue in the following verse. Moral standards. A godly life. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What a privilege. If you're saved, we are the children of God. Behold what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We're called His children. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. You know, great mystery that the world don't like you. They didn't like Him. We're His children. We're His offspring. Look at verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Well, that blows away where I'm going to wait till I get to heaven and see if I'm saved. Now we are the sons of God. Look. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, and that means He's coming back, there's a rapture, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. There's 1 Corinthians 15, changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. He says, you saved, man, you're the child of God.
Amen.
That shows love to you. And look at virtue in verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Same thing as Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Then verse 10. Same thing in 2 Peter chapter number 1. Besides all this, do all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. Moral standards. Courage to do right. Holy, godly life on this earth. God's called you in that.
Amen.
If you want to be fruitful, if you want to stay focused, if you want to never fall and fulfill your life for God, you got to start adding to your faith. Heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Virtue.